Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'll be co-hosting with Willie today. Hey, Pro Golf is coming to Nashville September 14th through the 17th with the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove. Text in the keyword bogey, B-O-G-E-Y, now to 615-737-1025 and enter to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. We say hello now to Gentry Estes of the Tennessean. He has been the world traveler. He's been in Minnesota covering the Titans and Vikings joint practices. And now, Gentry, I believe you're headed back to the Music City, correct?
I am. If you would have told me that I would be up here writing about Nashville SC and soccer during Titans training camp, I probably wouldn't believe that. But it is what it is right now. I'll be back. I'll be at the Geodis tomorrow night.
Yeah, and so we're kind of having this conversation, and our text line is blown up because some people said they didn't know who Lionel Messi was, and that was surprising to me because I put Lionel Messi in the category of just a global superstar that even if you don't know much about their sport, you know who they are. So do you agree with that, and where would you put him on that list?
Well, I would say you always hear these European soccer stars who have come over late in their career. You know, one of the reasons they like to do that is because they're able to basically live normal lives here. They can go to the grocery store and people don't recognize them and make a big deal out of it. We've already seen with Lionel Messi, he still can't do that, even here. Before his first game in Miami, he was spotted at a Publix down there. And there were videos and photos. And I don't remember that ever happening before for a soccer star in this country. So to me, that kind of answers the question. I think even here, he would struggle to be able to go out in public and not be a celebrity. I mean, really, you're talking about the most famous athlete in the world.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he's definitely one of the most most famous athletes in the world. So, what do you think this means for the growth of Nashville SC hosting a League's Cup final tomorrow, whether it's against Messi or not? But the fact that they've made it to that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. And I think for Nashville SC, it isn't just that they've never experienced anything like this. It's more that they may never experience anything quite like this again. This is special from a standpoint of not just having Lionel Messi in Nashville. It's the fact that this is a cup final. This is a chance for Nashville to win its first trophy in a pretty prestigious tournament, too. I mean, this was a the League's Cup was created at mid-season. MLS thought so much of this that they paused the schedule for a month to play it. There were 47 teams, all the teams from MLS, all the teams from Liga MX in Mexico. And the fact that you started with 47 teams, group stage, this whole complicated tournament, and now there's two teams left and the final is going to be at Geodis Park, that's an awfully big deal for the club. And you throw in the aspect of Lionel Messi, and now it's off the charts. Now it's something that I think is going to resonate in the city, and is resonating in the city more than anything Nashville SC has done to this point and may do to this point. I don't think that if they make the finals for an MLS Cup, the end of the season, end of the playoffs, and they host it, I'm not sure it would be as big a deal if Lionel Messi wasn't on the other side.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Gentry Estes is with us from the Tennessee, and as he's doing double duty, covering the Titans and now headed back for the League's Cup final tomorrow. So speaking of the Titans, Josh wants to know on our text line why you were standing behind Vrabel. He thought that was a funny interaction.
Because I walk over and the media, everyone's got phones out and they're taking video. Most of the beat writers do that. As someone who isn't a beat writer, I don't do that. So I tend to gravitate to the sides because I don't need to be in the middle shooting video the way TV and some of the beat reporters do. I actually explained that to Vrabel afterwards, and he laughed. But we don't have too many of those scrums with him. Usually when he talks to us, he's at a podium and we're in chairs,
right,
kind of in front of him. So that was a rare instance where we kind of gathered around him. But I'm asking the question, and he kind of side-eyed me and right in the middle of it. Jeffrey, get in front of me. Why are you behind me? I was more to the side of him, I'd say. But I guess I'll position myself better next time.
So they lose Treylon Burks for a few weeks. Vrabel called it best-case scenario, that it's being reported as a sprained LCL and not anything worse than that. But What do you think that means for the wide receiver group moving forward and the potential of maybe one of these other guys being able to grab a roster spot?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not good news, right? You know, I mean, you're still missing a key player for a lot of training camp. And, you know, and it is a tricky injury in that there's a pretty wide range of possible return dates for that, depending on how severe it is. We don't know grade one, grade two, that kind of thing. You know, so it's not good news, but certainly it is a sigh of relief to find out it wasn't something season ending or more serious. That would have been pretty sad, honestly. Burks has been, to me, maybe the standout of the preseason, if I had to pick one on the team. He's been phenomenal. He's had a great offseason. He's had a great preseason. Everything about him right now seems positioned to have a breakout year in his second year in the league. And, you know, if he'd had that happen, especially on a touchdown, too, it was on a deep pass in practice, and that would have been sad. In the meantime, I think that the first name that comes to mind is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He's kind of that just old reliable for those receivers. You know, they've had all kinds of turnover, but it always seems like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine ends up kind of the top of the list when they need him. And he was yesterday. He stepped into what would, I think, have been the Treylon Burks role and made a couple of plays. NWI hasn't had the best training camp. He's had kind of an issue with some drops earlier. And, you know, maybe some talk that, given what they have at receiver right now, and they've got a lot of good young receivers who have played well this preseason, kind of making a push, that maybe his spot would have been on the line a little bit. But I think now you say probably not on that.
Yeah, I feel like Roberson's played better. I feel like that McMath, to me, is getting lost in the shuffle if he's not careful. I know he had a couple of big catches last week, but you know, I like Kyrus Jackson, how he has played. You look at the Colton Dowell's been okay, but I think he still needs to show a little bit more. Treshawn Harrison. So I think they have a good problem right now with that receiver group.
The young guys really are playing well, and the guys you mentioned, to me at this point, I'd be surprised if Racy McMath makes the team. I know they like what he does on special teams, but you know, you got a situation there where it's like, if it hasn't happened yet, when's it going to happen?
Right.
He's had, you know, several years of opportunities now to kind of stand out in that receiving room, and you've just not really seen it. Now, there's still a couple of preseason games to go. It could change everything pretty quickly if he goes and has a wonderful game. But the young receivers really are – they're making a push, and you see it on the practice field in the number of reps and where they're being used in the units. And there are several of them, and guys who could help. And I think, you know, practice squad for sure – for some of these guys, but it wouldn't shock me to see one of them sneak in there.
Will Levis leaves practice early yesterday. Vrabel said after that, you know, we'll see how he is. Saturday could certainly be the Malik Willis show, but I'm a little concerned that if Malik Willis is the only quarterback available, you know, what happens if he does something and gets hurt?
It's a really good question. And it's one that kind of came up along.
Is Vrabel going to call Brady and say, hey, you want to come out of retirement for a game and back up Malik Willis? Like, what are they going to do?
Maybe there's somebody in that, you know, bottom part of the roster who's played quarterback before. I don't know. I don't think the Titans really want to try to find that out. But at the same time, you're not going to play Ryan Tannehill. So it wouldn't, if he's not available, and I don't really know the issue with Levis. That one was a curveball for all of us at the end of practice, because he participated in pretty much the whole practice. And I guess he exited early there in the final few minutes. Whatever happened, I didn't see it. If it was something bothering him. And, you know, what we've already kind of found out about Levis, is if he can go, I think he'll play in that game. This is an important part of the year for him, certainly, and I think he'd hate to miss out on that. But if it ends up being Willis the whole game, I think that, you know, if Levis is unavailable, I think that's probably how it'll have to go.
You've watched this defense up against the Vikings offense. Do you feel like that they're as good as maybe advertised right now?
You know, this week, these two practices, it wasn't revealing to me as much as it just confirmed a lot of what we already thought from watching practices in Nashville. You know, the defense was very good, and they've been good. I struggle to think of one practice in Nashville in which I walked away from that saying the offense outplayed the defense today. It's been pretty one-sided, and I think, you know, you come away from that gosh, is the defense that good or is the offense that bad? And I think the answer you get seeing them go against another team in Minnesota is maybe the defense is that good. They did pretty well against a good group. And, you know, all the things, the hallmarks that you've seen already, the pass rush, physical play in the secondary, good coverage, just they look like an experienced seasoned group because they are. They had a lot of guys back and used to playing together, and I've seen nothing this preseason that would hurt my confidence in the defense, I'll tell you that. Offense, kind of the same way, though. You know, struggles in pass protection yesterday. There were a lot of quarterback scrambles and plays blown dead by sacks and that kind of stuff, and again, that's something we've been seeing a lot of in Nashville. You worry a little bit about the O-line, especially in pass protection, and you know, Danielle Hunter and some of these guys in the Vikings really got a lot of – they caused a lot of damage yesterday. And I think the protection had trouble with them, much as they've had trouble with Arden Key and some of the guys on the Titans defense.
Well, Gentry, going to be interesting to kind of see how it all shakes out Saturday in Minnesota, but more importantly here in Nashville with Nashville SC fighting for the League's Cup championship. Appreciate it as always. Safe travels back and try and get a nap in.
Yeah, you bet, Chase. Take care.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes joining us from the Tennessean as he talks football, two different kinds of football. We will break all that down, give you some best bets for the weekend here next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.